The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas Vayiro. I'd like to this evening speak about a parsha which is relevant both to the Lech Lecha and Vayiro. And that is about Hagar and Yishmael. And we hear a lot about our Arab friends, so let's learn about them a bit. In Parshas Lech Lecha, we'll start there to see what we can glean from what the Torah tells us. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tesayin, this is the first time we're introduced to Hagar and later to Yishmael. Besorah Eishes Avram Leyoldolo, Sora, the wife of Avram, did not give birth to him, Belo Shivcha Mitzri Sushma Hagar. And she had a maidservant who was Egyptian, and her name was Hagar. Vatome Sarai el Avram, Hineno Atzarani Hashem Miledes. And Sarah said to Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has withheld from me to give birth. Bone el Shivchosi, go into my Shivcha, Ulai Ibone Mimeno, perhaps I will build from her. Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai, and Avram listened to the voice of Sarah. Vatikach Sarai eshes Avram es Hagar Mitzri Shivchoso miketz eser shonim l'sheves Avram be'eretz Kenan. And Sarah, the wife of Avram, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her Shivcho, her maidservant, at the end of 10 years after they were dwelling in Eretz Kenan, Eretz Yisrael. Vatitein esha l'Avram isha leile isha. And she gave her to Avram, her husband, to be as a wife. Vayavo el Hagar vatar, and he came to Hagar, and Hagar conceived. Vatere ki harasa, and she saw that she conceived. Vatekel gvirta be'eneha, and her mistress Sarah became very light in her eyes, because here for 10 years Sarah had never conceived, and she conceived the first night. Now, the Rashi tells us that it states that after 10 years of dwelling in Canaan, Sarah then gave Hagar to Avram, because by that time she realized that she was an akora, she was barren. And Rashi brings Dafke, in particular in Eretz Kenan, in Eretz Yisrael, because Yeshivas Chutz Laretz is not Eilem in Aminyun, even though they were married more than 10 years. But that they dwelt out of Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't count. And if someone is married for 10 years and there are no children, that's a sign that they are barren. Less than 10 years is no sign that they're barren. But these 10 years of the Chutz Laretz of Avad Eretz Yisrael didn't count. And Rashi explains why. So he says, because l'fi sh'leinem alei ve'eschol agei godol ad shebo le'eretz kenan. Kodesh Baruch Hu, who told Abraham that I will make from you a great nation, a nation of many, that bracha was given to him only after he would go to Eretz Canaan. It would seem from this that then this is a principle, in particular by Abraham, because the bracha was not given to him of becoming a great nation, a nation of many, until he came to Eretz Yisrael. But by other people not. Medrash Rabbah in Perek Mem Hei Parshat Eis Dalet brings that this is a klal, this is a principle, l'chol odom, for everyone. That this applies not only to Abraham, but by everyone. That if someone is married for 10 years and he doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's no sign of barrenness. It could be that maybe the Medrash Rabbah learns this from the same source, because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the bracha to Abraham that would be fulfilled only after coming to Eretz Yisrael. So we see that Eretz Yisrael is very masugal. Eretz Yisrael has in it the attributes that can give forth the bracha of Pruavu to multiply. So perhaps this would be the Medrash's source on this also. Now, when Sarah realized she was a Hakorah, she was barren, we could ask the Kasha, why was she barren? Perhaps we would say that, well, it was just coincidental. But we find that not only Sarah was barren, Rivka also was a Hakorah, was also barren. And we find the same thing by Rachel. This cannot all be coincidence. So Anet the Medrash says, also in Perik Mem Hei Osei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave litfiloson u misave lesichoson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the tfilos, the prayers, and the sichoson, the talking, to his tzaddikim, to the righteous. And he wants to get the righteous to speak to him, and to come and to pray and to ask for him. So therefore, he brings at times difficulties. He brings at time difficulties on the people. He brings at times difficulties on the people in order that they will turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be mispalim. The Medrash brings on this a posuk in Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, trying to find it. In Shir HaShirim, Posuk Yud Dalet. Shir HaShirim base, Posuk Yud Dalet, states Yonosi Bechagve Hasela. Beseisa hamadrega harini es maraich, hashmiini es kolech, ki kelech orev umareich nove. My dove, who hides in the rocks and in the concealed places of the clefts, come and show me yourself. Come and let me hear your voice. Because your call, your voice, is very pleasant, and your appearance is beautiful. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. What does this refer to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to his tzaddikim, to his righteous. Why do you conceal yourselves from me? Why don't I ever hear from you? Why don't you ever come to speak to me? Why don't you ever come to ask something from me? Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the tzaddikim, to the righteous, your appearance is so beautiful. Your voice is so pleasant. Why do I not hear from you? And therefore, he brings difficulties on the righteous in order to force them that they will have to come to him. There's another medrash that adds to this, in the similar vein, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on the Imos, Kulam Noos, Kulam Ashirais. They're all in the ultimate of beauty. They all are in the ultimate of wealthy. The Oves, our forefathers were wealthy. So what do they need me for? If they have children, what will they need me for? So therefore he brought on them this barrenness in order that they should have to come to him and to speak and to pray to him all of the time. There's another medrash that brings another example. It states that there was a prince, a son of a king, and he met a beautiful princess. And he was very, very taken by her, very interested, and she didn't want to talk to him. Every time he tried to speak to her, no, she wouldn't have anything to do with him. So what did he do? So he got his servants, and he says that when her chariot is driving up the road, you act as bandits and hold up the chariot and act as if you're abducting her. And then I will come and save her. So this is what he did. So now he came and saved her. And now she had to speak to him. He was able to create some type of kesher, some type of bond. This is the same. Well, this is what you read in all of the books of romance. This is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a romance with his tzaddikim, with his chassidim, with Klal Yisrael. And he has a complaint on Klal Yisrael. Why don't you come to ask something from me? How come I never see you? I never hear from you? So therefore, he brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaver l'tfilosen shel tzaddikim u'lesichosen. Therefore, he brings difficulties on them in order that they shall have to come to him. This is why we find, one of the reasons why we find that the Imos, Sora, Rivka, and Rochel were lakoris. Then we learned the Lo Shivcho Mitzris. She had an Egyptian maidservant. Where did the maidservant come from? She was Egyptian, but was there something special about this maidservant? And also, we must realize that Hagar must have been very, very great, very special, because she was to become the wife of Avram Avinu. So Rashi brings Bas Parah Ha'isa. She was the daughter of Parah. She wasn't a shivcha. She was a princess. And Kisharon Nisim Shanasa L'Sora, when Avram went down to Egypt because it was a row of a famine, and then Parai's servants abducted Sora for the king, when he saw the great miracles that took place by Sora, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made miracles in order that Parai should release her, he said, Mutav shitei biti shivcha b'bay zeh v'le givir b'bay sacher. I would rather have my daughter to become a shivcha, a maidservant, in the house of this great man, Avraham, than a givirta, than a mistress in another house, in another home. So he gave her to Sora. The Medrash elaborates, it's a Medrash Rabbah, in Perik Mem He Osbeis, states Omer Bshimem Yechai Hagar. This is the source of Rashi. Hagar Bitei Shel Parah. So Hagar was the daughter of Parah. And once he saw all of the miracles that Sora was able to perform, not albita, he took his daughter, Vinos Nolei, and he gave her to Vinos Nolei, and he gave her, it seems to Abraham, Omar Mutav Shtei Biti Shivcha B'Baizeh, it should be law, it should be, he gave it to Sora. Mutav Shtei Biti Shivcha B'Baizeh, V'Lei Gvir B'Baizeh Acher. Then Af Avimelech. Then the Medrash says that we have a second incident that that Abraham went to the land of Gror. That's the land of the Philistines near Azo. And there, the same thing happened. That again, Sarah was abducted for Abimelech, the king. She says, Abimelech also, Kibun Shirah Nisim Shinasel Sarah Bebeise, not will beat of a nation beat not law. Once Abimelech also saw these miracles, he took also his daughter, and he gave her to them. Adohu deceive, and this is, and so we find, the Medrash brings, that in the house of Abraham, they had servants that had come from kings. In Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, says a little differently. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Perchof Vov. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is speaking about what it states in the Mishnah Ovis, Esen Nishoines, Niso Hashem Es Abraham. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Abraham with 10 tests. And it's going through all of the tests. So it states the fifth test, Shenilke Chesori Ishte LeParalish, that his sorry, his wife, was taken to Parai. As a wife, v'chi yesh locha adam shereya she ishta nilkecha leisha acher ve'ena kereya as begodov. This was a terrible, terrible happening. Is it possible that a person sees his wife being abducted to become a wife of another man, and he will not rent his garments with great mourning? Then the Medrash tells us also in Pirkei de Blezer, that night that Sora was taken to the house of Parai, and it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought in the Goyim, he brought plagues on the house of Parai because of this. That night was Pesach. It was the 15th of Nisan, the day that Pesach would come out. Ve'evi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Parai v'al Beisei in the Goyim Gedolim. And this was a forerunner. He showed Parai what will ultimately happen. I doubt if it was the same Parai, but to his descendant on that same night. Because it was on that night, on the 15th of Nisan, that the Makkos Becheiros, the plague of the firstborn was brought upon them. Then it states like this: Rabbi Shua ben Kocha Emer, Me Avosa Esei Parai. Sora was extremely beautiful. Firstly, we see the Torah tells us, but then we see that wherever Avram went, he had a problem. He had to conceal her, and not only was she abducted by people, but she was taken to the king. Because whenever they would see Sora, they said that this woman has the beauty for a king, royalty. The Gemara tells us even further, the Gemara in Megillah, that Sora was one of the three most beautiful women in the world, and creation. So she was extremely beautiful. And when Parai saw her, and not only her beauty, he saw what she was, he became so infatuated with her that right away he wrote her out a wonderful dowry. He was taking her as a wife. He didn't know that she belonged to Abraham. He was going to take her as a wife and make her as a princess, as a queen. So he wrote her out a wonderful dowry. Kosav lo bishtak suba kol memaynei. And he was wrote a ksuba for her, everything that he had. This is how infatuated he was. Bein kesef, bein zov, bein avodim, bein karkes. If it was silver, gold, servants, land. Because of law, es eretz goshen lachuzah. And he also gave her a piece of land in Egypt, which was tuv eretz Mitzrayim, the best piece, and that was Goshen. Lefichoch Yoshvi Yisrael Be'eretz Goshen. She shall sore Goshen lachu. Shehi shall sore imenu. So this, when Yaakov Avinu came down to Egypt many, many years later, and they needed a place to stay, and Pare said, all right, stay in Goshen. That wasn't just by mere coincidence, but Goshen had legally belonged to Sora, Imenu to Sora, our mother. Then, because of law, Eshoge Bita Mipalakshe Leshivcho, he had a daughter, which was a daughter from a Pelegish, a concubine, Pare. And her name was Hogar. So he gave Hogar also to Sora as a Shivcha, as a maidservant. And this is what it means, that Sora Eshes Avram, Loyol Doloy, and Velo Shivcha Mitzris, Ushmo Hogar. Then, the next morning when he woke up and he had realized what happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came. He never touched Sora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he plagued him and this and that. And then he understood that she belonged to Avraham. So actually, it was a mekartos. It was the dowry was through error. He had every right in the world to take it all back. He called Avraham and he said, "Hare ishtecho v'chol shtireis maneseh ha'imo. Take Sora and everything I gave her. Leich ve'al tamei ba'aretz hazos." As it states, "Hinei ishtecho kach v'leich." He gave her everything, let her keep everything, take her and go. So this is how, and then the Medrash tells us in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, a similar case by Avimelech, where he also gave Sora all kind of things. At any rate, this tells us a little as to the origin of Hogar. That Hogar was the daughter of Pare. She had come from royalty, and she was given to Sora from the king. Then Sora said, "Take boy na el shivkosi, ulai ibone mimeno. Perhaps I will be able to build from her." What does it mean that she will be able to build from her? If Hogar has a child, it's not going to be her child. So Rashi says, "Bishus she'achni sorosi l'seich besi." This is what she meant. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to what extent I want a child, to what extent I'm willing to go, that I will even bring a tzora. A tzora is a co-wife into my house and share my husband with her. Perhaps with that schus and give Avraham a son, then perhaps with that schus, that merit, he will give me a child also. The Torah tells us then, "Vayishma Avram lekol soroi." Avraham listened to the voice of Sora. What does this tell us this for? Avraham was against the idea. He was very much against it. He didn't like the idea at all, because Sora was his wife, Eishes Neurim, the wife of his youth. You take another wife, that's a betrayal. It's called Bogadbai. And he didn't want to do it. See, he was against it. Fact is, it was very, very difficult for him to do it. The Rambam, in his Pirish Mishnayis L'Masechta Oves, we mentioned that there were 10 trials that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram with. In the Rishayim, there are differences of opinions as to which are the 10. The Rambam counts this as the one of the 10, as the fifth. that Loche Hogar li Isha Acheshenesh Mehelid Misora. This that he had to take Hogar for a wife because Sora was barren. This was one of the great trials which Abraham tested, that Abraham was tested with. So he didn't like the idea at all, and he was against it. So why did he do it? That's why the Torah tells us, Vayishma Avraham lekol Soroi. He did it only because Sora insisted on it. And Rashi brings lekol Soro Ruach HaKodesh Shebo. This that Sora told him to do it, he had recognized that this wasn't just a good etzah, but this was a Ruach HaKodesh, this was a Nebuah. This was coming from HaKodesh Baruch Hu through Sora. Sora was a Nebuah. She was a prophetess. How do we know to darshan this? Where does it say? The Sifsei Chachomim says, because it states, Vayishma Avram, it should have said, Vayishma Avram l'Sora. Abraham listened to Sora. Why does it have to say the kol Sora? We could also say that generally when the psukim say something like this, they write Vayishma Abraham Lidvar Sora, not kol. When you listen to someone's words, you do not say kol to his voice. Voice means something else. And it refers to the Kol Hashem, to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's in the person. Actually, we find this later also. Because later, when Sora wanted to chase away, that's in our Parshas, Parshas Vayira, she wanted to chase away Hagar and Yishmael. Goresh Omazah Yishvis Beno. Abraham didn't want to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kol Asher Teimar Eilecha Sora Shma Bekola. That's in Pasuk Yud Beis Berach of Aleph. Again it says Kol. And there we darshan again, Ruach HaKedah Shebo. She was a Nevi'ah. And also we find the same thing by Rivka, and Pashas told us. When Rivka was coming to Yaakov, that he should conceal himself, make off as if he's Esav and go to his father to get the brochas, and Yaakov didn't want to, she said, Vato b'ni shma b'keili, and again, ach shma b'keili, b'leich kachli. So we see that kol doesn't necessarily mean my words, but it could mean the kol, the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's in your words. So this is why Abraham conceded to this. The Torah then tells us, Vatikach Sarai Eishes Avram Eshoga Mitzri Shivkoso, and Batite Neiso LeAvram Isha Leile Isha. She gave her to Abraham, her husband, Leile Isha, as a wife. The Medrash tells us. What does that mean? This is in Medrash Rabbah. Le Isha Veleile Pelegish. She could have given to him as a concubine. No, she gave her to Abraham as a full wife. Le'isha ve'leili pelegesh, the full status of a wife. Then it states also, Batikach, Sora took Hagar. So Rashi, and this says, Lekochosa bidvorim. She took Sora with words. Ashreich shezochis lidovek begub kodesh kizeh. That Ashreich shezochis. That she told her how fortunate you are that you should be able to have a husband like Abraham, to be married to Abraham. Now what does Rashi say? L'kochosa bedvorim, that she took her with words. Because this Rashi consistently says, whenever it states Vatikach, you took, and if we're speaking about another human being, it would have to mean that you took them physically. You lifted them up and carried them. And it can't mean that. So it must mean that you motivated them, you mezaris them with words. This is what the Torah is telling us. Now, why is this? The answer to this is she didn't want Hagar to go to Abraham to become his wife, derech kfiya, as if forced to be. She didn't want to make such a match. And such a match would not come any good. So therefore, she inspired Hagar that of how fortunate she is that she should become a wife for Abraham. As we read, Hagar conceived immediately, and then she started to think, if I'd conceived immediately, and meanwhile my mistress was married for who knows how long, 10 years in Eretz Yisrael and many years before, it must be that she is not as righteous as one might think. So, Vatoma Sorai el Avram. Sora said to Avraham, Chamosi olecho. Chamosi olecho, chomos means either gezel, something that was stolen, or something that is not right, something that is not good. And chamosi means stolen from me. Or what is not good to me, olecho on you. What does this mean? So Rashi explains, chomus o osu ili olecho. The chomus, this theft, this which is happening to me, which is not good, this is on you, this is your fault. Anochi nosati shivchosi b'chaykecho v'ateira ki horoso v'eikal b'ineo yishper Hashem b'ini v'inecho. I'm the one that gave my shivcho to you, and now she is mocking me. Let Hashem judge between us. But why did she blame Avraham? She said, this what's happening to me is olecho because of you. So Rashi brings two reasons. One is that when you were mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he must give you seed, you should have asked him that he must give both of us seed, not you. Secondly, Rashi says, Dvorecho ato chemis mimeni, shato shomea bijeni vishesek. This the Medrash says this. You are stealing from me. Because when she is mocking me, you are being silent. And you should be giving me words of support and to support me against her. And because you are not, therefore, chamosi olecho, what is being stolen from me, is because of you. Now the Torah tells us, Vayema Avram el Sarai. So Avram said, he said, Hinei shivchoseich biyodich. The servant is in your hand. Asile hatov beinoich. Do what you want. I will not mix in. But ha'aneho sorai vativrach meponeho. So Sora started to afflict her. How did she afflict her? She caused her to do very difficult service for her. And because of that, Hagar had to flee, had to run away. At the end of the shir, please God, if I don't forget, it's very interesting Ramban on this posuk. Hagar ran away, and then She ran into the desert, and she came alo ayin b'derek Shur. She came near the road to Shur, and there was a well there, and there was an angel. So the angel said to Hagar, "Where are you coming from? Where are you going?" And she said, "I'm running away from my mistress, Sora." And the Malach said, "Vayemalo Malach, Shuvi al Gviotech, return to your mistress. Mishanitach Shodeho, don't worry, let her afflict you." And again the Malach said, "Harbarbe Zarecho Velei Sofer Mirov, you will have many, many children. And they will become a nation of such multitude that they will, you will not even be able to count them." And again it states, "Vayema Malach Hashem, Hinoch Rohorov Ayolet Bein, you will conceive and have a son." Here the Chazal explained to us, Rashi brings it, what do you mean you will conceive? She's already conceived. But Sarah gave an ayin hara to her, and she lost her, the child. But you will conceive again, v'karashma Yishmael, and you should call him Yishmael, which means Shemakel, ki Shema Hashem El Onyech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has heard your affliction. Now, in this whole shmuz here, in this whole discussion, it keeps saying, Malach Hashem. And Vayomelo Malach Hashem, Vayomelo Malach Hashem again Vayomelo Malach Hashem. Why so many times? So the Medrash explains, Rashi brings it concisely, that on each Amira, every time Hagar was instructed to do something, there was a different angel. And there's a machlekes in the Medrash as to how many angels there were. One, according to one, he says every time it says Malach, there was another angel. Malach is mentioned four times, so she had met four angels. Another opinion in the Medrash is every time it says Vayomer, Amira was another angel. It says Amira five times, so there were five angels. So here she's meeting up with so many angels. She wasn't overwhelmed because she was used to seeing angels in the house of Abraham, the Chazal tell us. But it is for something. The Medrash states that from here we see Tzipone shall always v'lei kreise shall bonim, how great the others were. That even the shifcha, the maidservant, that comes from the house of the Oves, could have discussions with so many angels, that the fingernails of the Oves were equal to the entire stomachs of the children. At the end of this story, of this episode, it states, Alkein kara leber ber lachai ro'i. She called, or it was called, she said, Ki omram hagam halem ri'isi achrei ro'i. She called, Vatikra shem Hashem adeva eloha ato keil ro'i. She called this place keil ro'i, because she said, I never expected here also to see Hashem. It was called the place where you will see Hashem. Never expected to see Hashem here. So Rashi brings Shereya b'ilbein shel aluvin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the downtroddenness of those who are downtrodden. What does this mean? The Midrash explains as follows. Hogger said that I always saw angels in the house of my mistress, of Abraham and Sarah. And I understood. The angels came in their schus. But I never expected to see angels that my mistress Sarah did not see. Like over here, where I was alone and my mistress wasn't here. So why did I? Because Mishus Shahakodesh Bohu Shomea be Ilmain Shel Ha'aluvi. Through the Shus that Hakodesh Baruch Hu listens to those who are shamed. Here I was shamed. Hakodesh Baruch Hu listens to those who were shamed. That's why he came to me and he brought all of his angels. In this Shus, I saw even more than my Gevirta, more than my mistress. And that's why this place was called Atikva Shem Hashem Adever Eloh HaTor Keil Ro'i, a place where we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malach told her, go back to your mistress. Tolerate the affliction, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you seed, and from here will come a nation of great multitude. Because Shema Yishmael, you should call him Ishmael, v'hu yeh per odom, and he will be per odom, yodeh b'kol, per odom will explain in a minute what it means, yodeh b'kol, his hand will be by everyone, v'yad kol bay, and everyone's hand will be by him. And he will dwell, he will cover all of the area. Shiazare Godel, Rashi says. He will cover great, great areas. Now, what does this mean? Hu yeh per odom? He will be a per odom. His hand will be by everyone, and everyone's hand will be by him. There are a number of interpretations from the Chazal on this. Rashi tells us, Per Adam, Ehi Midbores Lotzud Chayus. He will be a dweller of the desert. Pera actually means wild. He will dwell in the deserts. Most nations will dwell in cities. He will dwell in open deserts. The says, Hu yehe morod be'anosho. He will be a rebel. He will rebel against all types of people. Then Rashi says, Yodeh ba'kol v'yad kol bay. Yodeh ba'kol, he will be listing bandits in the desert. And others' hands will always be by him. It says, "Akol Saidi Maisai, Umid Garim Bai." The rest of the people will not like him. Targum says, he will need everyone, and everyone will need him. What does that mean? He will need everyone, and everyone will need him. So I once saw, I don't know where it is, I think it was in a Targum Yenison, where he brings, because he will have oil. So everyone will have to come unto him for the oil, but still he will have to come unto everyone else. The Medrash brings, Medrash brings in Oshud Beis firstly it brings what we brought Rabbi Yechanan Omar Shakol Yegdele B'Yishuv Hu Yegodel B'Midbar. Everyone dwells in cities, he will dwell in the barren deserts. Shimeloki Shoma Pera Odom Vadai Shakol Bezis Imoman Vuhu Bezis Nefoshes. Everyone, all the other nations, will try to collect hordes of money, gold and silver. They will be masters of slaves. They will be great in the slave trade. As we found, the this is, these are a few of the insights in what it means, and he will be a pera odom, and yad called and yad called by yode bakol vi yad called by. Now we'll go to Parshas Vayera. That's our parsha. In Parshas Vayera, we have again about Hagar and Ishmael. This is in Perichof Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Now, immediately before then, the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a child to Avraham and Sarah. And this was Yitzchak. And Avraham was 100 years old. Incidentally, at the end of the last parsha that we just learned, so it states in Lech Lecha, it states vi Avraham ben Shmeinim Shana v'Sheish Shanim beledes Hagar Yishmael Avraham, when Avraham gave birth to Yishmael, it tells us vateler Hagar l'Avraham ben, that it came true. Avraham, Hagar gave a son to Avraham, and they called him Yishmael. And incidentally, this was Beruach HaKodesh, his name, because the angel told Hagar, you should call him Yishmael, but it states Avraham called him Yishmael. And Avraham never knew of this prophecy, the Chazal tell us. So this was Beruach HaKodesh, he was called Yishmael, and Avraham was 86 when Beledes Hagar Yishmael Avraham, at this time. So 86 means that 13 years later, when Avraham was 99, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham and told, he gave him the bris milah, gave him the mitzvah milah. So Avraham mauled himself when he was 99, and he mauled Yishmael when Yishmael was 13. And actually, this is brought as a great schus to Yishmael, that when he was 13 years old, that's already almost an adult, he allowed himself to be circumcised and didn't say, I'm not interested, I don't want it, it's surgery, I don't want it. Now, then, the following year, when Avraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, Sarah gave a birth, and that was to Yitzchak. And Vayigdal Hayeled Vayigomal, and the child was grew, he became weaned. Vayas Avraham Yishtegodl B'yom Yigomel Es Yitzchok. Actually, the Chazal tell us that Avraham made a great party on the day that he was weaned. This is the first of the Bris Mila when he was eight days old. Then the next Pasuk skips a few years, and then tells us, Vateres Soreas Ben Hagar Amitzris Asher Yoldel Avraham Etzachek. Sora saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who gave birth to Avraham, a son, Mitzachek, he is sporting with Yitzchak. And she was very upset with this. Why was she so upset? What was he doing wrong? So the Rashi alludes to it. But the Medrash in Perek Nun Gimel Os Tesvov and in Pirkei Rav Lezer Perek Lamed elaborate. And the Pirkei Rav Lezer tells us as follows. Oya natal keshes v'chitzim v'hoi yera achara efes pamachas roes Yitzchok yeshiv levadei v'yora lov chetz lohorgei. He was a hunter, so he used to hunt the birds with his bow and arrow. One time he shot an arrow at Yitzchok and just about killed him. And then fortunately he was aiming for Yitzchok. So roes sora v'higidel Avram. And Sarah saw this, and she told Avraham. The Medrash Rabbah tells us that in Loshen Tzachik, Tzachik, the Shvichas Domi, there is the spilling of blood. That was that case. But there's also Aveda Zora, idolatry, that he used to catch little insects or grasshoppers, and he used to make a little altar for them, and he would practice idolatry with Yitzchok. And then, also, Gila Arayis, he was full of promiscuity. So Sarah was very concerned. She didn't like this influence on her son. So she came to Avraham, and she told Avraham, she said, I want you to chase out this woman and her son. Actually, the Medrash tells us, Rav Shimon Yochai, another Dayan, he says there was something else happening also. Yishmael was claiming that he was the heir to Abraham, and therefore he was entitled to the entire inheritance, the physical and the spiritual inheritance. So that's why Sarah said, Goresh omazes v'espano, chase out this woman and this son, her son. Ki lo yirash ben omazes im b'ni Yitzchok. Because this person is not going to inherit together with my son, my Yitzchok. Ba'yera adove me'ed b'nei enei Avraham al edis b'noi. And Avraham became very upset when he heard about his son. Now Rashi brings, what was he so upset about? So Rashi brings two pshatim, but he brings, he was so upset because about the news of what Yishmael was doing. But the Chazal tell us, and Rashi alludes to this also, now he was upset about something else. He did not want to. How can you ask a person to chase out his wife and his son, and especially Avraham? Avraham was the one who was the great Makarev. He was bringing everyone close. He was the Bala Chesed. And now he should go and chase out his son and his wife. The Pirkei Rav Lezer says as follows. He says, Sora said, "Amod uksev leYitzchak kol mash nishba Hakadosh Baruch Hu liten lachol zarecha, chayecha shein ben Oma azay sheirishim benim Yitzchak." She told Abraham, "I want you to write a document in which you bequeath to Yitzchak everything that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has promised you, and to your children, and Yitzchak 100% and nothing to Yishmael, and chase out Yishmael. Save get Gerushi. Mishalaches Oma Zay Subanome Alayo Malbini. I want you to write a document of divorce to divorce Hogar and chase her out. Mina Ilamazea, Mina Ilamabo. from this world and from the next world. Umikol hara ushaba al Abraham hayakosha varabe inova dovra zemi od. So the Pirkei Rav Elazar says that from all of the difficulties that Abraham ever had, this was the most difficult. Shnema vayera dovra mi aid beinei Abraham al edis benai. That's what it means, that Abraham became extremely upset with all of this. And he didn't want to do it. How can he do it? That night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Abraham in a dream. Omar le Abraham, I ato yedeh shayisasara ruye lecha leisha mimei ima. Do you not know that Sarah was preordained to be your wife when she was just conceived? And she is the wife and your loyal mate from your youth. Leinikreis hogar ishtacha, veleinikreis sore shivchoscha. He said that even though she gave her to you as a wife, Hogar was never referred to as your wife, and Sore was never referred to you as your maidservant. As it states, Aval Sore ishtacha yeledes locha bein. Kol shedibra Sore be'emes dibra. And whatever Sore is telling you is the truth. Al yere be'einecha lana v'amasecha. Do not worry about your son or about Hogar. The Rambam, when he lists the 10 trials of Abraham, so he counts this trial as two. Generally everyone counts them as one. He counts them as two. He's as the trial, the eighth trial and the ninth trial. Gerushi Hogar, that he had to chase out his wife, that was the eighth test. Gerushi Yishmael, that he had to chase out his son, that was the ninth test. And he says, Teda de kosher lei meod. And he says, a proof that this was so difficult for Abraham to receive, as it states, Vayera hadover miod me'enei Abraham al edis benai. That Abraham found it so difficult what he heard about his son. And then it says, he says, that's what it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, al yera beinecho al hanar vi ala mosecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not worry about the son, about the lad, or about the shivcho. In other words, both of them don't worry. So these were two tests, the eighth and the ninth. Then, incidentally, again, like we mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham, it says, Vayom ekim el Abraham, kol ashetem elecha sora shma bekola. See, here, he said, listen to the kol, listen to her voice, and the Chazal bring, again, we see that she had Ruach HaKodesh. And the Chazal further bring here that we see that she was able to see what Abraham was not able to see. Because Abraham wanted to keep Yishmael as an heir. And he wanted to keep Hogar. And she said no. And the Chazal say, Mikan, that Abraham was tofel the Nevius leSora. Sora was greater in the Vua than Abraham. So Abraham had no choice. He had to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now told Abraham though. He said, V'gamez ben oma l'gei asimeno, ki zaracha hu. You have to realize that this that Yishmael turned out to be such an enemy of Yisrael did not have to be that way. He was given Bechira. Everyone has free choice. And safe, call safe, this was the seed of Abraham. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he says, don't, as a, to console you, Gam es Oma ben Oma lagea simeno, I will make from him a great nation. A nation, a great nation, ki zarachohu, he is your seed. So he didn't have to turn out the way he did. This was by choice. The also what we see from here, and this we can't elaborate on this, we've done it in the past, maybe we'll do it again in the future, but what we see from here, two principles, and this we see consistently through the Torah, that women not only played an important role, but actually changed Jewish history consistently. Changed history. Because here we see, first of all, it was because of Sarah that Abraham married Hagar and Ishmael. And if it would have been up to Abraham, so Sarah would have, excuse me, Ishmael would have been an heir. And it was because of Sarah that history was changed. We find the same thing in a few parshas further on with Rachel, with Rivka. As far as Yitzchak was concerned, he was giving over everything to Esav. It was Rivka that stepped in, interceded, but not only interrupted a process, but changed the history of the world. And this we see consistently. I gave a shiur in Durban not long ago in which I listed 18 cases where women completely turned the course of the history of the world. I think we once spoke about this at a topic on our Rosh Chodesh dinner. Maybe we'll speak about it again, but this is where we see this. The second principle we see from here is a man has to listen, consult, he has to listen to his wife, he has to consult with his wife, discuss things. But the ultimate responsibility, decisions, is on the man. The late Rabbi Loy used to tell me, he says, there can only be one skipper, one captain. You can't have two captains of the boat. But here we see none like that. Now that, the Chazal tell us, right at the beginning in Bereishis, states HaKadosh Baruch Hu created woman as an Ezer Kenegdai. Ezer means to assist him. Okay? But Kenegdai means, and Rashi brings, to assist him when he does good. But if he's doing wrong, then it's the wife's responsibility to stand up against him. This is what it means, kenegdo. This is what we see. We see this from Sarah, that when it came to an issue like this and she knew Avraham was doing wrong, she wouldn't budge. Later on by Rivka we see it, when Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav, she wouldn't budge. And consistently we see this. So these are two principles we learn from here. Now, when Hashem told Abraham, chase out Hagar and chase out Ishmael, so he gave him a reason why. Why? Ki be Yitzchak yikored lecha Sarah. Because Sarah is right. Ishmael is not going to be your heir. He's your seed. I will make a nation from him. He will be a nation of multitudes. But he will not be your heir when it comes to everything that I have promised you, Uzaracha Acharecha. Who will be your heir? Yitzchak. He will be your heir. So therefore you must chase him out. Now, notice it says ki bi Yitzchak. It doesn't say ki Yitzchak. Yitzchak will be your heir, but bi Yitzchak, which means within Yitzchak, will be your heir. So Rashi brings in the Chazal, this is from the Chazal, Yitzchak will be your heir, but only part of Yitzchak, not all of Yitzchak. For example, if Yitzchak is your heir, then all of his children, then all of his children will be your heir, which would mean Yaakov and Esav. Just like Yaakov was your heir, so all of his 12 sons became the Yorshim, the heirs of all of the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov was mitosa shlema. Yaakov was a total heir. So all of his descendants inherited. But not Yitzchak. Be Yitzchak. Part of Yitzchak will be your heir. And that's Yaakov and not Esav. They were split in two ways. And the Medrash adds to that, though. The base is two. Be Yitzchak. He who recognizes, and he who can see Beis Olamais, the two worlds, Olam Hazeh v'Olam Haba. And that's to exclude Esav, because Esav gave up his world to come. When we have the case there of the red porridge and the birthright, so Esav was willing to give over his birthright to Yaakov for the red porridge, because he asked Yaakov, what good is my birthright? What does that give me? That was the kahuna, the priesthood. What will that give me? He says, that will give you a life in the world to come. He says, Lo melichaim, I don't need that. I want this world. And when this is my world, then I'll die in this world. So be Yitzchak, your heir has to be someone that will recognize Beis, the two worlds, not just one world. Avraham got up the next morning, and he took bread and he took water. He gave it to Hagar and sent her out into the desert. Now it states, Abraham was the most generous man in the whole world. Why did he only give her such provisions, just bread and water? Because now, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that Sarah is right, and you have to rid yourself of them, so now Abram was angry. Now he had a hatred for them because they had destroyed what was good. So therefore he gave them just bread and water and sent them out. Vatelach vatesa bamidba be'er shova ve'yuchla mai min achemas. And the water was not sufficient. Ultimately there wasn't enough water. Now we can ask the question, why wasn't there enough water? At least give them enough water for the journey. So why wasn't there enough water? So there are different answers on that. But the Medrash brings, it's either the Medrash Rabba or the Pirkei der Blazer. You notice it states in the Posuk, it says, Vatelach, at first it states that she went out into the desert, she carried her son Hagar. See, Hagar was sick with a fever. So that's one reason why the water didn't last, because someone who has a fever drinks a lot of water. But the Medrash brings another reason. It states, Vatelach Vatesa. She went, Tesa means wandered. Wandered aimlessly in the desert, in Be'er Shova. Then it states, Vayichlo Hamayim. Only then did the water end. Now, what does it mean that she wandered aimlessly in the desert? I mean, she knew the desert. Why did she wander aimlessly? So the Chazal Darshan, Rashi brings it, what it means, Chozra ligilulei beisoviho. She went back to her father's house and to his Avedis Ora, to his idolatry. She went back to the house of Parai and the idolatry. Only then, Vayuchlu Hamai Minachemus, did the water come to an end. In other words, as long as she was walking in a straight line in the desert, Bishchus Avraham, through the merit of Avraham, the water would have lasted as long as they needed. But once she had decided that she's going to return to her father's house and his idolatry, then the Bishchus of Avraham, the merit of Avraham, ended. So then it states, Vayichlo hamay min achemes. The water ended. The Torah tells us that, again, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to their cries, and he brought water for them, and Vayhi Elokim Asanar Vayigdol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with the lad, and he grew up. Vayeshev Bamidbar Vayi Reva Kashos, and he dwelled in the desert, and he became a hunter. Vayeshev Bamidbar Poron, and they dwelled in the desert of Poron. Vatikach Leima Isham Eretz Mitzrayim, and his mother, went back to find a wife for him from Egypt. We can ask two questions here that seem to be contradictory. One is, at the end of our parsha is the Akedah. That's the tenth test. After all of this. And Hashem tested Avram, and he said, take your son and bring him up as a sacrifice. So it states in Pasuk Gimel, Perachov Beis Pasuk Gimel, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Vayachvesh Es Chamoro. Avram got up in the morning, he saddled his donkey, Vayikach Eshnei Na'orev Itoy, and he took his two lads with him, and they were going to Har HaMoriah, and he took Yitzchok B'nai son Yitzchok, and they were going to the mountain of Hashem for the Akedah. Who were the two lads? So Rashi tells us the two lads, and he's telling this from Chazal, the two lads were Ishmael and Eliezer. Eliezer's servant and Ishmael. Now what was Ishmael doing here? This is Achar Advorim Ma'ele. He already sent Ishmael away. So what is he doing here? This didn't happen immediately afterwards, but it happened afterwards. So the Pirkei that Reb Lezer tells us that Abraham continued to have a bond with Ishmael. It's not that he never saw him again. And Ishmael would come back to visit Abraham. So he had come back to visit. And this was the time of the Akedah, when Abraham was told to go sacrifice his son. And therefore he took Ishmael. We see this further, because at the end of Chayisora, after Sora dies, and after Avram dies, it states in Posuk Chof Hei, Posuk Tes, Vayikberu Eisoi Yitzchok v'Yishmael Bonov. That when it came to bury Avraham, this was in Hebron and Moras Machpelah, it states Yitzchok and Yishmael went and buried Avraham. So Yishmael had come back, or he was there, and he took part in the burial in the Kfura. Not only that, but it states Yitzchak first and Yishmael second. That means Yishmael gave honor to Yitzchak, even though Yishmael was 13 years older. So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Mikan she'osa Yishmael tshuva. From here we see that in the end of Avram's days, Yishmael did tshuva. V'heilich es Yitzchok lefona v'yiseva tova shenemar b'Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham that he will die b'seva tova. He will die satisfied. When he dies, he will leave this world in peace. That's why it states that Esav did not sin until after Avraham died. Had Esav sinned before, that's not a seva tova, that's not leaving this world in peace. Same with Yishmael. Ishmael did tshuva before Abraham died, and therefore Abraham left in peace. So we see that Ishmael had good streaks in him. He had the power to choose. Evidently, something went wrong later on. That's one aorta. Second aorta, second note, is after Sora died, it states this is in Parshas Chayei Sora Perek Chof Hei. After Sora died and after Yitzchok married Rivka, by Yosef Avram by Yikach Isha, Abraham remarried Ushma Keturah, and her name, the name of his wife was Keturah. The Chazal tell us, Rashi brings, who was this new wife? Zu Hagar. This is Hagar. So Abraham took back Hagar. Why was she called Keturah? Keturah comes from the word ketores, burning incense, which gives off a beautiful fragrance. Sheno imaseo ketores. Her deeds were as beautiful as this beautiful fragrance. Also, the Medrash tells us, he brings this from Medrash Rabba Rashi, is that from the time that she was chased out by Avraham, she never went to another man. Avraham took her back. Now, we have a kasha, question. It states that when she left Avraham, Batelech Vatesa, she wandered aimlessly in the desert. She went back, Ligilgule Avedezora Shelavio, to the idolatry of her father. Here we see Avraham's taking her back, and she's a great tzaddikus. The Baal HaTurim asks the question. He says, she did tshuva. Just like Ishmael did tshuva at the end of his days, Hagar did tshuva. And therefore Abraham took her back. So those are some final notes. Now, one final point, and this is the Ramban I mentioned before. The Ramban says as follows. In Parshas Lech Lecha, where we were learning from, Sora gives Hagar to Abram. Hagar conceives immediately. Vatekel gevirte be'eneha. And now she's lost the great respect she had for her mistress. And Sora said, look what she's doing to me. And Abram said, do what you want, she forsake be your day. I give you the right to do what you want to her. But aneho sorai vativrach miponeho. So Sora afflicted her and she ran away. The Rabban says on that, Posuk, as follows. Choto imenu b'inui hazeh. This that Sora afflicted Hagar was a chet. She had no right to do that. V'gam Avraham v'hinicha la'aseis kein. And also Avraham, the fact that he allowed her to do this. V'shama Hashem el onyo. And that's why it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard her affliction. V'nosan lo ben she'aper odom la'anei zera Avraham v'sora b'chol minei inui. And that's why he gave her a son who would be a per odom that would afflict the seed of Avraham. According to the Ramban, this that we have so much source from the seed of Yishmael, this was Mido keneged Mido. a measure for a measure. Because Sarah afflicted Hagar, and Avraham allowed her to do that, and that was wrong. Therefore it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard her affliction, and he gave her a son, that in turn would cause affliction and sorrows. See, Kishama Hashem El Amjeich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard her affliction. Therefore it says, Hu Yeh Pera Odom, he will be a Pera Odom that will cause affliction to the seed of Avraham. But the Malach told her, Hagar, he said, why are you running away? So she says, because I'm running away from Sarah that's afflicting me. So in Pasuk Tes, the Malach said, "Vayomer lo Malach Hashem, shuvi el gviyateich, go back to your mistress, v'sani tachas yodeha, allow yourself to be afflicted." So the Rabban says, what does that mean? That means, tziva esol lo shuv, ulekabel aleho mem pshelis gviyato. The Malach commanded Hagar to go back to her mistress, and to accept upon herself the rule of her mistress. Remes ki leisetze lachofshi mimeno, ki b'nei sora yimshol bizarai la'elam. This was a remes, a prophecy for the future, that just as Hagar will not free herself from Sora, but she will have to be subjected to Sora again, so will the children of Sora rule over Hagar's seed forever towards the end of the Ketz Hayomim, towards the end of the days. This gives us some background into Hagar, into Yishmael, and into their seed.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.